Goeiemôre en welkom by Gesondheid op RSG. Ons gesels vandag oor die e-sigaret. Is dit veiliger as 'n gewone sigaret? Is dit enigszins veilig? Of het dit ook maar neeweffekte of gevare? My gas is professor Richard van Sail-Smit. Hy is pulmonoloog verbonde aan die Long Instituut van die Universiteit van Kaapstad. Professor van Sail-Smit, wat is die verskil tussen 'n gewone sigaret en 'n e-sigaret?
Marie, thanks for the question and thanks for having me on your show. So the major difference between a tobacco cigarette and an e-cigarette is that the one contains tobacco, which gets burnt, whereas an e-cigarette contains liquid that gets vaporized. So a normal cigarette you'll be fully aware of is rolled up in paper, you light it, and the tobacco burns and you get smoke, which has particles and chemicals in it. An e-cigarette, the liquid that goes in it, is a combination of two chemicals, one called vegetable glycerine and the other one called propylene glycol. And in addition to that are flavorants and nicotine. So there are estimated to be somewhere in the region of 10,000 different flavors of e-cigarettes, everything from nicotine to gummy berry juice to mint, any flavor you can think of they will have. And what happens is the electronic cigarette heats these liquids up to very high temperatures, so it forms a vapor or a water vapor, and you inhale that with the chemicals and the water vapor that's produced from an electronic cigarette.
So it doesn't contain tar?
No. So specifically, tar is a byproduct of the combustion of tobacco. Most of them contain nicotine, which is the addictive substance found in both tobacco cigarettes as well as electronic cigarettes.
Sal die nikotien in dieselfde konsentrasies wees in die e-sigaret as in die gewone sigaret?
So Marie, it depends really on which e-cigarettes you're using and what kind of tobacco you're using. So to give you some background, they produced these light cigarettes, tobacco cigarettes several years ago, where they punched holes in the side of the filter so that people couldn't get as much nicotine in. Well, smokers just sucked harder and put their lips over the hole so they could get the amount of nicotine that they want. So for a smoker, they regulate the amount of nicotine that they need because of the chemical addiction based on how often they smoke and how hard they suck on a cigarette. In an electronic cigarette, it's slightly different in that the various liquids and flavorants have different concentrations, but it really is just a function of how often you use it, how hard you suck, and how long you inhale for as to how much nicotine you will get. But generally speaking, it's usually less than a normal cigarette. But if you vape for 10 or 15 minutes with a high nicotine concentration liquid, you will get as much nicotine as you want or need.
Dan kom ons by die miljoen dollar vraag en dit is, het hierdie e-sigaret gevare of is dit 100% veilig?
So Marie, the issue of veilig is an interesting one. In English, we would say safe or safer. Gesond of meer gesond would be a different way of translating it. And it very much depends what you are comparing it to. So again, just to give you the background, for tobacco cigarettes, it took us roughly 50 to 60 years before we recognized that tobacco cigarettes caused lung cancer. Many doctors promoted them. We all thought they were safe. They were widely used, fashionable. And those of you who are older than 40 or 50 will remember seeing all the adverts and how everybody used to smoke everywhere. We realized 50 years later that they are dangerous. We don't have long-term safety data for electronic cigarettes, and we won't for the next 20 or 30 years. So there is no evidence or anything to suggest what might happen if you smoke electronic or vape electronic cigarettes for 10 or 20 years. Nothing. What we do have is short-term data from people who have either switched or have started using electronic cigarettes. And if you just look at the chemicals in the two different forms of cigarettes, it is likely that electronic cigarettes will be a whole lot safer than tobacco, just because they contain far less dangerous chemicals. Now, likely to be safer is not the same as safe. And so we need to split this question into two groups. Those that smoke, where you have a 50% chance of dying early from a smoking-related illness, where an e-cigarette that may or may not have a reduced risk, but let's say, for example, that it only has a 20% chance of killing you. Well, that's less than 50%, so that's potentially a good thing. However, when you talk about a non-smoker or someone that isn't exposed or hasn't started or wouldn't think about it, is it safe? Well, no, there's nothing to show that it's safe. Yes, it might be safer, but do you really want to take the risk of it potentially being dangerous when you're breathing fresh air? And so that really is where one needs to differentiate the answer of safer. Yes, probably safer than tobacco, but definitely not as safe as fresh air.
Ek sien in baie van die winkelsentrums is daar stalletjies waar hulle e-sigarette bemark en dit word bemark as 'n safe option, as 'n veilige opsie. So mens kan nie eintlik sê dit is veilig as jy dit vergelyk met gewone lig wat jy inasem vir 'n nie-roker nie.
No, absolutely you're correct. And so I think that's where marketing and reality sometimes split from each other. Safer than, there are some studies, and again, there's not a lot of scientific literature, but there are some studies that would suggest that they are safer. But again, short term, but definitely not long term. But safer than something that has a 50% chance of killing you is definitely not the same as being safe for someone that has never smoked or never intended to smoke. And that's where the marketing blurs, and they never give the two messages together. It's just about being safer than. And the safer than, the estimates are up for debate. They are, yes, likely to be safer. But how much safer, we don't know. But at the end of the day, the safest is to smoke nothing, to not inhale electronic vapor, not to inhale tobacco cigarettes. And so to be absolutely safe, it's fresh air.
En wat van passiewe rook? Reken julle dat 'n e-sigaret ook blootstelling gee aan die mense om hulle wat dan passief die vapes of die dampe inasem? Dink julle dit het enige effek op die passiewe rokers?
So Marie, there's interesting data from vaping conferences which has shown how high concentrations of particulate matter are in rooms where people vape. Now, it's not the same pollution as where you'd put a bunch of smokers in the same room. But there certainly are extra chemicals in the room which you wouldn't necessarily want to be exposed to. The WHO has come out with a lovely statement where they indicate that the non-smoker shouldn't be exposed to anything more dangerous than fresh air. And so many people have taken that stance that, yes, the risks may be quite small compared to tobacco smoking, but why should a non-smoker be exposed to anything, even if the risk is quite small? And so certain groups have called, like the WHO, have called for the ban on e-cigarettes in restaurants, in public places, because of the potential risk to the non-smoker, not focusing on the smoker in this particular instance.
Maar in Suid-Afrika, onder wat sorteer 'n e-sigaret? En is dit 'n medisyne of is dit 'n voedselbyvoeging? Onder wat sorteer dit en wat sê die wetgewing op die oomblik daaroor?
So Marie, the legislation is an interesting question, and different countries have approached it in different ways. So the US, for example, have the FDA, who regulates medication and tobacco, have had a big fight, but they've got electronic cigarettes into the legislation for tobacco. And so they can now regulate e-cigarettes. In South Africa, it hasn't fitted into anything, and the manufacturers have been very careful about not claiming medical benefits, because then they would need, so it's not a smoking cessation aid or a medication, because then they would need to apply or need to abide by medical regulations. So although it contains nicotine, it's not registered as a medication. It's not registered as a health substance. It's not registered as a food substance. But the new draft regulations for tobacco control have now included e-cigarettes. Now, these are under draft and under review, and I'm sure there will be quite a fight around them. But it looks like the government's intention is to regulate electronic cigarettes in a very similar manner to tobacco, which would effectively mean no use in public places, no sale to children under the age of 18, and package warnings and the various things that you recognize as tobacco control would be applied to electronic cigarettes as well.
Professor van Sailsmith, dit is so moeilik om op te hou rook. En nou gryp baie van die mense na die e-sigaret. Met ander woorde, hulle is agter die nikotien aan. Wat presies doen die nikotien aan jou liggaam dat dit so verslawend is?
So nicotine is a very interesting chemical, and if one looks at the comparison between something like nicotine or cocaine or heroin, it doesn't have as high a chemical addictive response as those types of chemicals. But the reason it becomes so addictive is that there's the association and the habit, and you put the cigarette in your mouth, within 10 seconds the chemical's in your brain. It releases a substance called dopamine, and that's the one that tells your brain, I'm okay. And the short time between inhaling a cigarette and feeling okay is what makes it so addictive. And so for many people, when they started smoking, it was just experimentation, but their body then became used to and adapted to and needs that reminder that it's okay with the dopamine response for nicotine. Some people are heavily, heavily dependent, and if they don't smoke for an hour or so, really are craving the cigarette. For others, though, it's more of a habit where I go out for a drink and I have a cigarette, or I get up in the morning, have my cup of coffee with my cigarette. So there's always a balance between the two. E-cigarettes, the idea and hope for them was that they would help with the habit in that you've got something in your hand to suck on as well as the nicotine. The research, unfortunately, hasn't shown them to be very effective in helping people quit. Now, I'm sure you will get callers phoning in to say that they smoke 20 a day and they used an e-cigarette and they now don't smoke anymore. Absolutely. But for each individual, there's a good way and a bad way, and some things work and some things don't. But from the research studies, compared to something like the patch or other medications like Zyban or bupropion or Champix, those drugs, those chemicals in research studies work far better than any e-cigarette studies. Now, it's not to say that you can't quit with an e-cigarette, but if you had to choose an option, it wouldn't be the best choice based on what we know works and what we know doesn't work. But that needs to be individualized to each person.
Maar Zyban, en ek is nou nie seker van die ander produkte nie, verhoog ook jou dopamien vlakke sodat jy tog daai gevoel van tevredenheid kry.
No, absolutely. So the medication only helps with the withdrawal. It does nothing for the habit. So if you're depressed and you smoke, or you're anxious and you smoke, or you're a busy CEO and it's the end of month and you smoke, then taking medication is not going to help with the reasons for smoking. It helps with the withdrawal. And remember, the reason for the nicotine patch, Champix and Zyban, is to allow your brain to wean itself off the need for the nicotine bumping up your dopamine levels whilst you deal with the habit side. So there's always a combination. We always deal with the reasons why the associations with smoking, primarily what we call behavioral change, so that when you're stressed, you don't grab a cigarette as the first thing, you do something else. And if you have significant withdrawal, that's when the medication helps you get over the withdrawal. But if you haven't dealt with the underlying reasons, the moment you're off the medication, as it were, or in a stressful situation, the first thing you're going to do is grab a cigarette.
Jy is ook betrokke by die rookstaak klinieke by Groteskuur Hospitaal. Hoe suksesvol is 'n program om iemand te laat ophou rook?
So Marie, it very much depends which type of program, what kind of smokers you enroll in the program. The rule of thumb and the best programs we have seen, the best data we've seen, is that the success rates are about 40% of people that enter a program will be successful at 6 months, and that drops off after a year, sometimes down to 15 to 20%. That's not to say that you failed. It just means that you weren't successful. The FDA actually in the last 24 hours have released a program called Every Attempt Counts, or Every Try Counts. And the point is, you can keep trying to quit smoking as many times as you want, because there is no limitation on the number of times you can try, because your goal is to be successful. The challenge is to learn what happened, why wasn't I successful, what did I do wrong this time, not as a beating me up with a stick type approach, but really the positive to say, okay, I managed to quit, but I got into a fight with my boss and I went outside for a cigarette. So next time I get into the fight with the boss, how am I going to behave differently that I don't go grab a cigarette? So we learn from our mistakes. We learn from our failures. And there are millions and millions of ex-smokers out there. And so it's not impossible to quit smoking. Absolutely, it's difficult. But with the right kind of support, the tailored medication if you need it, and lots of encouragement, absolutely it's possible.
Ek wil nou net terugkom na gewone sigarette toe. Wat is die effek van die nikotien? Is dit op die longe, of wat se tipe skade kry mens as gevolg van die rook van 'n gewone sigaret?
So in a normal cigarette, the estimates are somewhere in the region of 4,000 to 8,000 different chemicals. Some we know well, some we don't. Some we know exactly what they do, others we do not. Primarily, the big concern is obviously for the lungs. Yes, I'm biased because I'm a lung doctor, but inhaling the smoke with the carcinogens in it increases your risk significantly for lung cancer and obviously emphysema. The chemicals in the lungs result in damage to the lung structure, and so you get holes in the lungs. The lungs don't work as well, and emphysema is the end result. For the rest of the body, though, things like nicotine and the other chemicals do affect all the other organs, increase your risk for pretty much every cancer. But interestingly, nicotine itself has effects on your blood pressure and your heart rate. And nicotine, although it doesn't cause cancer, can promote the formation of blood vessels and so can promote cancers to grow faster. It doesn't make you have a cancer, but it makes the cancers grow faster. So everything from just your general body, your immune system, your white cells, your red cells, all those things are affected by the exposure to smoke. But the major concern is all the other cancer-causing chemicals. Hence why in e-cigarette, there's this huge marketing ploy that you would save millions and millions of cancer lives if you stopped people inhaling all of these carcinogens. Now, some studies have shown that there are some cancer-causing drugs in electronic cigarettes. Not nearly as high as tobacco cigarettes, but they are there. And they contain nicotine. And nicotine is not a biologically inert. It has an effect on the blood system. It has an effect on the immune system. And so inhaling nicotine is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination either.
As iemand ophou rook, kan die skade wat aan die liggaam gedoen is omgekeer word, of word dit maar net gestop?
So Maria, it depends which organ system you're talking about and what damage. So the moment that you stop smoking, things like your oxygen levels, the carbon monoxide, the poison that comes out your exhaust pipe, that comes out of a cigarette, they start dropping. Within 24 to 48 hours, you can smell better, but you also yourself smell better because you don't smell of cigarette smoke. And then within days to weeks, the cells in your lungs start regrowing. Your risk for cancer drops off within a year, and your risk for heart disease also drops off. So absolutely, the sooner you can stop smoking, the better. And there are significant long-term benefits from having quit smoking. And your risks for cancer, heart disease, stroke, heart attack all go down the further away you get, in a sense, from your last cigarette. The problem, however, is the damage to your lungs we cannot reverse. So once your lungs are damaged from the cigarettes or you have developed emphysema, we can't get that back. What's gone is gone. But what we do know is that if you stop smoking, your lungs deteriorate much slower than they would if you were smoking. So your lungs get smaller as you get older. That's part of aging. But that decline is much faster if you smoke, and it can be slowed if you stop smoking. So the most important thing for anybody with lung disease who smokes is absolutely clearly to stop smoking. It, as I said, you won't get back what's gone, but the lungs will deteriorate at a much slower rate. But for heart disease, cancer, stroke, the benefits are much higher in that your risks go down quite dramatically and reasonably fast. So it's always a good idea, and it's never too late to stop smoking. You will always derive a benefit.
Professor Van Zyl Smit, as jy 'n finale boodskap moet gee aan die luisteraars daar buite, wat sal jy opsommender wys sê?
So I think in relation to tobacco cigarettes, it is an addiction. It can be very difficult to break. And I would strongly encourage any smoker to do their best to seek as much help from anybody and everyone that's willing to help, provided they don't charge you too much money to get you off your cigarettes. From an electronic cigarette point of view, if you are a heavily, heavily addicted smoker and you cannot absolutely get off tobacco cigarettes, then electronic cigarettes might be a safer alternative in the long term if you're never going to give up inhaling or smoking. If you're going to switch to electronic cigarettes, I would strongly recommend seeing that as a step in the direction of quitting everything. So not becoming a vapor, but actually becoming just a fresh air breather. And if you don't smoke or vape, and you have children that don't smoke or vape, I would strongly recommend that they go near neither of them, because there are no health benefits from smoking or vaping in the long term, and the risks far outweigh any benefit that might be attributed to feeling a bit better or feeling less depressed or less anxious. There are much healthier and safer alternatives than grabbing a cigarette.
Baie dankie aan professor Richard Van Zyl Smit. Hy is 'n longspesialist verbonde aan die Long Instituut by die Universiteit van Kaapstad en die Groteskuur Hospitaal. Hy is een van die landse kenners op die gebied van sigaretrook, die effek daarvan en ook e-sigarette. Volgende week beantwoord 'n kenner enkele luisteraarsvrae oor Fofie medisyne. Dit is hoofsaaklik sogenaamde medisyne of masjiene wat ingespan word om sekere siektes te genees en hoofsaaklik deur leuke en nie so seer deur mediese dokters nie. Tot volgende week dan. Totsiens.